The Arts Council has seen from the National Endowment for the Arts that new research is very useful in explaining why we have the arts in Kentucky. Would you roll those figures out?
Sure. Let me talk a little bit about what the NEA did first.
Sure.
For the first time ever last year, the United States Bureau of Economic Analysis and the National Endowment for the Arts included the arts and culture sector in the measurements of the gross domestic product. And according to their prototype estimates that were made available in December, 3.2% of the gross domestic product, or about $504 billion of the GDP in 2011, was attributable to arts and culture. That's a huge measurement for us because it's for those of us who work in arts and culture, because it's something that we can use to show a real value to the services and the work that we provide. And people understand that, you know, on a real basic level, that the arts and culture provide, you know, are a component for a good quality of life. But when you can look at it in numbers, sometimes it gives you a different perspective on the real value that the arts can add to the economy.
And, you know, I think one of the things I've noticed over the years is that, and don't take this the wrong way, but Kentucky Arts Council grants are notoriously difficult to apply for because they require the grant recipient to match and to define demographic groups involved, define the nature of the art performance or whatever. They are rigorous applications.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's government funding for the arts and it needs to be completely justified.
Right. And, you know, there is a lot of information that we collect. For instance, in the release that we put out last week about the Kentucky Arts Partner Organizations, that's our largest grant program. This year, for fiscal year 2014, we awarded $1.8 million to 103 nonprofit arts organizations across the state. And in part of that agreement, what they do is at the end of the fiscal year, they report back to us on how that money is used and how they've used that money to leverage other funds. And so, for instance, in the year past, in the fiscal year 2013, the arts organizations that received those grants returned $7.4 million in federal taxes, $1.2 million in state taxes, and more than $500,000 in local taxes and fees where they're located, which is all across the Commonwealth, you know, in cities very small to very large. So these are the organizations that really make up what we consider make up the arts infrastructure in Kentucky and provide year-round programming and arts opportunities for the people of Kentucky.
The BEA information and the NEA information
mm-hmm.
Had this interesting segmentation about what forms of the arts generated most of the income. And
mm-hmm.
It was interesting to me to see how they figured the impact of construction because
mm-hmm.
of the arts, the impact of additional tourism because of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is really useful information for communities, too. I mean, aside from the Kentucky Arts Council, but for just all sorts of organizations to use to say, hey, this is a strong element in our economy.
Right. Well, one of the things that we always say is that the arts create jobs, and they do, and not just for artists. for other sectors also. And that's actually one of the things that we're going to be looking at, and we're commissioning a statewide study of the arts and culture sector. We're calling it our creative industry study. And one of the things that it will look at is how the arts and culture sector or the creative industry sector overlaps with other sectors, where they feed into one another and where it can create jobs in other industries, because we know that that happens. And so this study that we're undertaking is really going to look at that. And it is valuable information for communities. One of the things that we've seen in the last several years, across the United States, projects that are termed as creative placemaking have completely revitalized communities that may have lost their large industry, and you know, they might have been a bit hopeless and needed something new to keep their community going. And so creative people and people who are movers and shakers, you know, those people are in every community, get together and create plans to revitalize their community using arts and culture. And that's another thing that that our study is going to report. Basically, we're going to have some case studies and some how-to information for Kentucky communities to possibly give them a step-by-step guide on how to create their own project that might add to community revitalization, economic development, or maybe something they can replicate that's been done elsewhere, you know, to make it their own, to help communities prosper.
Well, we have a great example of that in Lowertown in Paducah, where artists have worked with the city to revitalize a neighborhood, and it has meant a great deal for the landscape of the that part of Paducah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and you know, Paducah is, you know, one of those cities that every other city in Kentucky can look at to see the work that they've done and how it's paid off for them. They were just named.
It's a UN designation for a creative city. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's a testament to the work that they've done. And one of the things that we always stress is that, you know, something like what happened in Lowertown, that didn't happen overnight. It was a long-term plan. And that's something that is sometimes difficult to, it's just something you have to remind people of over and over again, is that it is a plan, and arts and culture need to be involved in community and economic development plans to make sure those plans are well-rounded. Actually, our Cabinet Secretary, Bob Stewart, says that economic development plans that do not include arts and culture are doomed for failure, which I've always loved. I love to hear him say that. And that's, you know, we believe that it's that important because they provide opportunities and amenities that other businesses look for when they want to relocate or to look at the quality of life for their employees.
Now, with January 28th being Arts Day in Kentucky, are there festivities planned, or is this just a moment, a nod?
No, there are festivities planned. So every year, the Kentucky Arts Council sponsors Arts Day in Kentucky, and Governor Steve Beshear has proclaimed the day this year as January 28th. Arts Day in Kentucky, so you can celebrate wherever you are. However, if you would like to join us in Frankfort, we would love to have anyone who would like to come. We have a public reception from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Capitol Rotunda, and at that reception there will be artists demonstrating. There will also be live performances, and the performances are by people in the Performing Arts Directory that the Kentucky Arts Council runs. And then our artists who will be demonstrating are artists in the Kentucky Crafted program. And there's really going to be some neat stuff going on. The thing, we took a little bit of a different approach to Arts Day this year. In the past, it's been an event where our organizations, our Kentucky Arts Partners, have come to Frankfort and met with their legislators and had photos taken and those sorts of things. And then they've had some meetings throughout the day to discuss the state of the arts in Kentucky. But this year we wanted it to really be a public celebration. And so we have extended the invitation to the general public and to anybody we can think of who might be supporters of the arts, artists, arts organizations, academic institutions, anybody whose life is touched by the arts, really, we would love to have join us in Frankfort for our celebration.
It'll be a crowd then.
I think so. I think we're going to have a good time.
Emily, thank you for speaking with me.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Kate.